like that in the profound that skit in a book that they sort of took a bite of the top. They've written about it, forgotten that they've written about it. But what I want to talk about this morning
is the topic of differences between men and women. And if you've ever said to your mate, and I know that there are some here that are not married, said to someone of the opposite sex, how can you think that? Then you've experienced the differences between men and women. Let me see if I can call up our title here. The whole theme of the conference this weekend was intimacy. We talked the first night about what intimacy is, sharing of yourself, your opening up your personal feelings and your emotions, coming together as God intended husband and wife to be in one flesh. Yesterday morning, we talked about conflict resolution, about dealing with repentance and forgiveness, how to deal with issues in your marriage that will come up, because every one of us is a sinner. Every friendship, every relationship that we have, and especially in a marriage, there is conflict, and we have to learn to deal with that biblically, by learning to ask forgiveness and learning to grant forgiveness. And also yesterday morning we dealt with the issue of sexual intimacy. This morning we're going to talk about intimacy through differences in marriage. And I want you to notice a couple of things. If you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1, this will probably be the session in this weekend conference that we will interact the least amount with the biblical text. Not because it's an unbiblical issue, but because the Bible gives us some general guidelines here and general information, and much of what we learn in this topic we learn through observation of human behavior. But Genesis 1:27 gives us the foundational principle here. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That is, when God created human beings, he didn't just create one type. He created two, as you know, male and female. And it's not just that we're different in physical characteristics. It goes much deeper. God hardwired us differently, emotionally, mentally, socially, and obviously physically. When we think about these differences between male and female, let me mention a couple of principles here. First of all, the differences between men and women were on purpose and with purpose. That is, God didn't make a mistake and say, oh, you know, I made the second one different than the first. He intentionally, as you know, in the Garden of Eden, made male and female different. God created Adam, and Adam was in the garden with animals of both genders, male and female. And the Bible says Adam was alone. There was no one there for him, and so God caused a deep sleep to come over Adam. And God took the rib out of Adam's side. And that tells us then that woman ought not to be over man, because he didn't take him, you know, he didn't make Eve from Adam's skull. And woman's not supposed to be underneath man. He didn't make Eve from the foot bone of Adam, but rather at his side. And God intentionally made Eve different. And so God made the differences on purpose and with purpose. That is, there is a reason why men and women are different. Now, we haven't taken the time in this conference to talk about singleness, but the truth is, if God has put you in a state of singleness, you're not married, he may or may not change that, but as a single person, you can be complete in Christ. But when you are married, God intentionally makes it such that you are not complete without that person. Also, these differences that we have between us should be recognized. That is, it's important to understand how we're different. They should be valued. And once we come to see, hopefully through this lesson, the blessing that the differences between men and women can be, that we will value them, praised and perpetuated. That is, we ought to teach these things to our children. We have two girls, two teenage girls, and then an 11-year-old son. And we teach them specifically, okay, this is how young ladies act. And for one of my daughters, she needs that more than the other, because she tends to be, you know, more of just a tomboy kind of girl. So she's learning to be somewhat more ladylike in the way that God has made her. And with our son, we teach him, this is how men are. This is what men do. This is what God designed you to be as a boy. So they should be perpetuated, not ridiculed. How many times have you heard a male or female joke in your life? Quite a few times, right? And you know what? Some of our differences are funny. I'm going to put up a couple of cartoons in just a moment that highlight the humorous things that come out of our differences. But it should never be ridiculed. Women should never be put down. Men should never be put down in the jokes that we tell. Or reduced or eliminated. As you know, some secular psychologists, because they don't believe in God's unique creation of male and female, they believe we've evolved, they see the differences between men and women as simply a process of evolution, blind evolution. And therefore, whatever differences between men and women we have are social constructs, and we should do away with them. We should just, you know, do away with all stereotypes. Well, the problem is, because God created these, they're very stubborn, and they're very difficult to get over with. And I've read some reports of child psychologists that, you know, they observe boys and girls from the time they're babies playing. And there are unique characteristics to even how they play at a young age. Some of the humorous ones are boys at a young age become obsessed with things. You know, my truck. And they like to deal with objects, whereas girls tend to be more relational, even from a young age. Boys from a young age will play longer when they make up a game because they will work out the rule conflicts, whereas girls, when they come to a conflict in a game, the game's over because they can't deal with the conflict, okay? So there are differences, and my wife and I are going to do another short skit here to demonstrate the differences in perspective between men and women. Boy, honey, isn't this a beautiful church? Yeah, I love the architecture. I mean, look at that piano. Even that piano is beautiful. French doors? What are you talking about? I don't see any French doors. But how can you not see the piano? It's right there. Well, surely you see the choir loft over to the right. On your left, the auditorium is on your left. Are we even in the same room? How can you not see the things that I'm seeing? Okay. Well, as you can see, I want you to stay up here with me. My wife and I are going to work through this together, this session. If you've ever wondered, why does my wife not see things the way I do? Or why is my husband so blind? How come he can't see the things that I do? The truth is that God has given men and women different perspectives. And men and women can be looking at the same thing, like we are in the same room, and see things totally different. And sometimes we wonder, how can you see it that way? And we need to come to realize that my mate cannot see it any other way. And then the question is, well, when will she start to see things my way? What do you think the answer is? Never. And she's not supposed to. And if she did, you would be seriously handicapped. So the truth is, when I stand back to her, I can only see 180 degrees. She also sees 180 degrees. Neither one of us sees the entire picture. And rather than getting frustrated and saying, you know, why are you not seeing things my way, I need to realize that her perspective is of tremendous value. If we were facing opposite ways and someone was coming at us with an axe and she were saying, we're in danger, and I would say, no, there's no danger, I don't see anything, we would recognize there's a real problem there. And so we need to value and appreciate differences between men and women. Here's a couple of quick cartoons here. Husband and wife are back-to-back on their computers, and he says, how easy, I just bought a gift for my wife. And she says, how easy, I just exchanged it. Okay. Here's Wonder Man. Okay, the toilet seat is down. I noticed your new haircut, and I produced no gas. Now as I head to my next destination, I shall stop and ask for directions. Okay. You can see how disastrous it would be if we would start to become like our mate. The next two are gender translators, where what we say doesn't always communicate what we mean. She says, you left dishes in the living room. The garage is a mess, but you never listen to my opinions, and half the time you don't even look at me when we talk. And the translator tells the husband, she says, you didn't notice her haircut. Okay? So he hears all this stuff, but what she really means is, you didn't notice me. Here's the opposite side. Husband says, and the translator translates. He's sorry. He says he's sorry, and he'll try to be more sensitive in the future. And he loves you, but he wants to change the subject because he's not comfortable with the conversation. Now, did you notice something in these two cartoons? When the wife was speaking, she used all these words, but she only meant something simple. When the husband speaks, he says, Well, yeah, he doesn't actually say a word. He makes a sound, but he means volumes by that sound. Okay. And someone created this. If you want to understand man and woman, man, pretty simple switch, on, off. Woman, very complicated. Dials, switches, levers. Okay. So let's talk about some observations on men and women. And these come from a book that I can't wholeheartedly recommend the book, but there are parts of it that are very valuable. It's by a book called Wild at Heart. Notice in your notes, if you're taking notes, men need a battle to fight. Men need a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. That sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But in truth, fairy tales often capture the essence of what people are looking for in life. Men need a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. Now, this comes in all sorts of forms. You know, I'm a professor, so I spend a lot of time reading and studying. So my battles are not out there, you know, on the battlefield with a gun or, you know, in a backhoe tearing up, you know, a trench or something. My battle is preparing a lesson or finding a truth in God's Word. That's my battle, and it excites me. It's an adventure. And the other side of me, it needs a beauty to rescue. That is, I want to be a significant part of my wife's life. On the other side, a woman... Go ahead, honey.
A woman needs to be fought for, an adventure to share, and a beauty to unveil. They also want to be a part of the adventure. For women, I think that's where our baby is. How many of us women, we didn't mean to make them jealous, but when they got jealous, how did that make you feel? It makes you feel important. It makes you feel fought for. It just brings a feeling of, wow, he really cares about me. They need an adventure to share. Now, we're not often very good at starting these adventures because for women, one of the main things, we need security. We need to know that even before the event starts, everything is going to be all right. No one is going to be hurt or inconvenienced, and it's all going to work out in the end and turn out happily. So we like to go along on the adventure, but we're often not wanting to start the adventure or have a lot of questions at the beginning. And a beauty to unveil. We want our husbands to notice our beauty. Like Mark said yesterday, every day, and he's not like every day, and you know what? That means gives me such confidence as I go out into the world. It doesn't make me look for other men to get
affirmation
from. Because I know at home he thinks I'm beautiful. He loves me. I know that he appreciates me.
Okay. Let's look at another one in regard to men. Men are hardwired to cultivate and build, conquer, provide, and lead. That is, one of the distinctions that God makes between men and women is God intends in the home for men to provide leadership. Now, that looks all different kinds of ways. It doesn't look the same. For example, we've known people where the husband might be handicapped and can't provide for the home. And so the wife is the primary breadwinner. But in that husband's heart and in that relationship, he still feels the burden of that responsibility to lead, to provide, to protect. And so it looks different in many ways, but Ephesians chapter 5 says the husband's role is to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church. And Christ went and suffered on the cross, endured whatever he had to do to provide for the church salvation. That's a good picture of how men are hardwired to do that. And a lot of times with the corruption of sin, men become either, as we talked about yesterday, men become one of two sinful ways. They either become passive wimps, where the man will not take leadership. And the wife will be saying, please lead me, please make a decision, please show us where to go. And he won't because he's too passive. Or the other side, he's an abuser. He uses his strength and power, his loud voice to overpower her. And God intends rather for a husband to lead, to protect, to provide. Women, on the other hand.
Women are hardwired to have deep emotional attachment to family and to effectively care for the needs. And we see this in Proverbs 31. I can say from my perspective, it's very difficult for me to work outside the home. I think I have to, our culture kind of demands that in some senses now because with the cost of living, children going to college and different things, it's important for him to stay in ministry that I support him by getting a job outside the home. But for me, I am in constant conflict because my whole life is in that home raising children, taking care of Mark, taking care of things, so that when I'm outside the home, it's like I have two full-time jobs. And it comes into, it hits sometimes, and it stretches me sometimes. And men need to understand that, that for women, we want to be in our home, taking care of our family and our kids, but yet to support him, we sometimes have to go outside the home. And that can create conflict at times because of, and, you know, obviously men pitch in a lot more at home, but I think our heart is in the home and wanting to be in the home and take care of our families. I know with Mark loves his sisters and his parents, but I'm the one who kind of initiates the communication. I make the plan. I'm the one, and he gladly comes along, but that's in our relationship. That is, I'm the one who keeps all of the relationships. I'm the one that says, hey, you know what, he, Kate, really needs you to go upstairs and just really, and I give him the perspective on how to talk to his daughter sometimes, because he wants to, but sometimes he doesn't understand how women think, so.
Not sometimes, most of the time.
Or where she's coming, or they're coming from.
And when Adrienne says, you know, she wants to take care of me, it's, you know, that can be a tall responsibility. Just ironing a pair of my pants takes quite a long time. Let's talk about how men and women think differently. And let me ask you, can you guess how men and women think differently? Ability to compartmentalize. Who's better at this, men or women? Men, okay. When you think about a man's brain, think about a post office. You know, you walk into a post office, at least the old-fashioned kind, and there were all these little compartments, and you had a key for your particular post office box. You'd open up and get your mail. Men think like that. They can think about something, and when they're done thinking about it, they put it away, turn the key, and they don't think about it again. That's why a man can have a fight with his wife, and right after the fight's over, nothing's resolved, he can roll over and go to sleep. And she says, how can you go to sleep? I'm upset. And the reason is, he's closed that compartment, pulled the key out, and that's put away. And many men operate that way. That's one of the things that men have to be cautious of, because the temptation is a man can be married and he could say, I love my wife, but he can close that door and open up the door of sexual immorality. And the whole time that he's involved in, whether it be internet pornography, affairs, adultery, he's not even thinking about his wife because he's closed that door of family and he's opened a new one. And so, men, there's a real source of temptation that we not allow our lives to be compartmentalized and say, oh, yeah, I love Jesus and I go to church on Sunday, but on Monday or Saturday I'm doing all these other things and somehow I think that's okay.
Yes.
Yes.
He's in my mind every day, all throughout the day. And every decision I make, you know, I'm thinking about him or about our family or about, you know, what's going on with the girls or with Ryan right now. So that I can be doing my job yet still thinking of all these things.
Yep. So men, we compartmentalize. Ladies, it's just one big room and it's all there. That's why men can go to bed when the house is a mess and women can't, because they're thinking of the house. Here's another one. Ability to multitask. What do you think, men or women? Women. You want to explain why?
I can make dinner, help with homework. I can mop the floor, wipe the counters, all while doing the same thing. Now, Mark, he has a tendency to make dinner. He's a great cook. But often, one thing is done before everything else. Like, the vegetables are ready, but he hasn't started to grill the meat yet. So, but with it, we can multitask. We can do five different things at one time and get it all done correctly.
Now, a lot of the things we're saying are somewhat stereotypical and they're generalized. You might say, well, I'm different than that. And that's fine. We are all different. And your relationship, the husband might be more organized or more ability to multitask. So these are generalities, but they do reflect how we think. There's another one, ability to control emotions. What do you think, men or women? Men, typically, yes, have greater ability. Because once again, we can close the door on our emotions and face something and not be emotional about it. I said yesterday that a man can know that his mechanic is a total jerk, but he'll still bring his car there because he's a good mechanic. Whereas a wife has a hard time separating those, and those emotions that come up maybe from the last time she was there and the guy was rude to her, she has a hard time taking her car there. Here's another one. Relationally oriented women, okay? You want to talk about that at all?
Well, relationships are one of the most important things to us as women. You know, even our relationship with the Lord, I think we really want men to take that leadership in relationship with church and different things like that. It's very important that he be the one that decides to go to church, to take the role of him and emotions. So even with that relationship with the Lord, we really want, that's very important to us and to our family. I think also with our kids, in our kids' relationships, how many of you have gotten upset when your daughter's having a hard time at school, your son is being bullied? We take that so much to heart, where he can often say, it'll work out, don't worry about it. I'm like, I need to fix it. I need to make sure that it's okay for her because I want her relationship to serve, or their relationship to serve.
Good. And again, in all these things, I want you to realize we're talking about how we naturally tend to react. As Christians, we come to realize that some of the ways I naturally react need to change and need to grow. So if I'm not naturally relationally oriented because I'm a man, that doesn't give me an excuse to say, oh, honey, you take care of the relationships, I'll just take care of the tasks. No, in Christ, I need to be transformed so that even if it's not my natural way of dealing with it, if it pleases God, I'm doing it. Here's another one, ability to zone out. What do you think, men or women? Hey, can I get a witness, okay? Yeah, there you go. Men do. I mean, not only to, this goes back to the compartmentalization. Men have an incredible ability to focus and to separate their emotions. That's one of the reasons why the Bible seems to discourage or forbid, at least there's no examples of women in direct combat, because in combat, a man has to be able to observe his buddy getting killed or wounded and be able to continue to proceed. And because women are more relationally oriented and emotionally tied to that, it becomes more difficult. But even in life, men, because they're able to compartmentalize, they can close all those doors of concerns in their life and they're zoned out and they're not thinking about anything, whereas women have a harder time doing that. Tendency to think and feel before acting in response to stress. What do you think? Okay, women, any comments?
We tend to like to talk things over and think things through several times. Often before we make any decision, we will talk to five different friends. And we go where he's more apt to, all right, this is what we're going to do, this is the rest of it, this is the plan. Whereas we need feedback, we need to talk it through, we need to make sure that we've analyzed all of the details to make sure that everything is how we think it is. Yeah. How we want it to be.
Just think about the conversation in the skit there, why she has to worry at 3:30 in the morning. And then one more, cautious response to risk. Who's more likely to be cautious in response to risk? Women, why don't you tell about your job this year?
Well, I'm a second grade teacher right now, but due to some circumstances, we were this year praying about me possibly leaving teaching, but I had to make the decision in February but couldn't look for a job until the spring. So basically I had to quit my job without knowing what I would be doing in the fall. And all of that entered in like, well, you know, how can I need to make sure I have a job that works with my kids' schedule. So I'm there in the morning and I'm there shortly after they get home from school. And I want to make sure that I can get to them, you know, if they're sick or whatever, that I could get to. So all of these things, and he's just going, just quit it. God will provide. What are you worried about? And I'm going, but there's all of these details that I need. I want a job where there's Christian friends, where I can have another believer there, and all these things. And I'm making myself sick, literally.
For months
over the whole thing because that risk scene. And he's just like, don't worry about it. Just quit. We'll find something.
And so we need to realize, again, these differences and how they affect our relationship. Let's move on and talk about some things between men and women. When it comes to conversations, men tend to focus on facts. That's why if you go over to another couple's house, the guys will sit down and they'll start talking about, you know, the PGA tournament or the baseball game or the weather. It tends to be more factually related. And that's not all bad. Men can get into feelings and thoughts and opinions and fears and doubts and all that. But men typically don't start with that. You know, typically if I were to go visit John, I wouldn't rush in there and give him a big hug and say, oh, John, I'm just consumed with fear. That would probably startle his wife and my wife considerably. So men typically spend a long time dealing with facts and building a relationship before they start to go deeper into the relationship and communication. Women, however, are more quick to do that. Any comments on that? Feelings? Okay. I think that's one of the most obvious things about men and women.
But that does come into entering with making decisions, because because we're thinking about the two ends of everybody, and they're just focusing on that. And that's where we complement each other. He tells me not to get too emotional, and I tell him, well, you need to consider everything. It worked well when he was in ministry as a pastor.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, you need to call this person and really, I think this is how we're feeling. And I don't think that's it. And he would be like, you're right.
Yep.
Because we see things from a different perspective. We see the emotion.
Problem solving. Men tend to, again, this is a stereotype or a tendency, men tend to deal with one issue at a time, and I know that's the way I am. If my wife calls me and says, honey, we got three problems here, I say, okay, tell me the three, but I can only do one at a time. Tend to solve problems alone. That is, I usually don't gather a group of close friends around and say, well, you know, guys, what do you think? Men typically, we want to figure it out ourselves. It's like a puzzle, and we're going to get it. And we primarily think about, let's seek a solution. Okay, here's the problem, and here's what we need to do. Here's the solution. Women, on the other hand.
Well, a good example is like a file folder. If you have a filing cabinet, men will pull out the one file folder and go through it, and they will put the file folder back when they've solved the problem. But with women, our desk is full of open file folders. And we will not close one of those folders until it is resolved. So our desk is kind of covered with them, whereas they have one out at a time to put them back.
Yep. And so you need to realize, men, that when your wife is having all these things in her life that are a problem, she can't just close the door on them easily like you can. Until she can help deal with them, she can't put those file folders away.
And it's funny because when we're talking about different problems, I'll move on to the next one, and he doesn't realize I've gone to the next one. He'll be like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, that's still open. We're not done with it, but we need to work with this one. And he's clueless sometimes as to where I'm going.
That's true.
Or how my mind got there.
And yes.
Sometimes I explain the pattern to you.
Yes. She will trace her thought. Let's see, I was thinking about this, and then I thought of that, and that made me think about this, and this reminded me of that. And it's a very complex web. And again, and we'll see in just a moment, I need to appreciate that. Because there are many times where I'm just fact-oriented. Here's the solution. You know, too bad if feelings are hurt, too bad if relationships are damaged. And my wife needs me to help her find a solution, but she's really concerned about the relationships, about the people along the way.
And often I'll say to him, pick up your head during the day, because sometimes he's so focused on one thing, I'm like, pick up your head and look around, there's other things.
Yeah, or she'll call me and say, why haven't you called me today?
Yeah.
Well, I'm working, honey. I know, but I've been thinking of you all day. Why haven't you been thinking of me? Well, I have been thinking about you, just haven't called. Well, unless you call, it's like you're not thinking about me. Also on this point, women tend to talk through their problems to process their thoughts. Guys, when we face a problem, typically we want to think about it for a while, and we'll do so silently usually. And we won't talk about it till we've thought about it for a while, till we've arrived at least at a preliminary solution. But guys, we need to realize when a woman has a problem, she begins to talk through it. So she starts telling you about a problem, the male tendency is to jump in and say, I've got a perfect solution, here's what you ought to do. And she doesn't want a solution yet. What she wants to do is, through her talking about it, she's working through it in her mind. She's trying to figure it out. And then when she's finished, this is the tricky part, guys. Sometimes she still does not want a solution. Okay? Sometimes she just wanted to talk it through. And in talking it through, it solved the problem for her. And you don't have to do a thing but listen, which can be really hard sometimes. Yes, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But at the end of her talking, when she's talking through a problem, I found it very helpful to say, do you want me to help you solve the problem? Sometimes she might say, no, I think I've talked through it. I'm okay with it now. Other times, it still hasn't been solved, and she does want help.
And then sometimes you get to the solution, and I'm like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. And those are the times you have to have great patience and just laugh about it, okay? Let's talk about a couple more things here. Constructive solutions to differences between men and women. There we go. This is your turn to talk to the husbands.
Okay.
Let me start by saying, first of all, when it comes to these differences, sometimes they cause conflict. Sometimes they're funny. But quite often they irritate us, they frustrate us. And what I want us to learn is, in the husband-wife relationship, we need to learn to value the other perspective. You may not understand why she thinks that way. Actually, let me rephrase that. You will never understand why she thinks that way because you're not female. You're a male. And you need to realize that God gave her to you to complete you as a gift to you. And so I should not, even though we may disagree, by the way, this doesn't always mean that we come to agreements. Sometimes there's disagreements. But I need to respect the way she comes to her opinions and her perspective and appreciate. And I've learned that in many cases, not 100%, but I would say the high 80s, low 90%, I need to trust my wife's intuition because God's given her to me as a gift. So, husbands, my wife's going to talk to you just for a moment.
So, husbands, it's important that you speak your wife's perspective and trust it and let it influence your decision. Now, women, we do have a tendency to want to be controlling at times, and that's where we really need to realize that it's not about controlling the situation or getting it to do it our way, but more getting him to see our perspective, like you said, with intuition or just feeling things out. We bring a certain perspective, the woman's perspective that he may not see, and that's important that you listen to that and let it influence you. You need to patiently listen as we go through the process of thinking out loud. We can't always think it out through our head. We need to sometimes write it down on paper. We need to say it out loud, and we need to go through the process, and we need your patience with that. We need you to welcome our questions and our concerns. It's not that we are questioning your leadership at times or questioning your decision-making. We just need to understand why you're getting it. It's very frustrating to a wife when a husband comes home and just makes a decision about something, like, okay, this is it, this is where we're going, and we're very frustrated by that, and that often tend to lead to arguments or disagreements because we feel like we didn't have input and that you didn't feel like you should listen to what we thought about the situation.
Let me just say something about that. When I was in seminary as a student back in the early 90s, I would sit in class every day, and I'm sure John has encountered this too. You sit in class all day, you're being taught in the Bible, professors are challenging you about issues in your life, about spiritual things, and you get greatly convicted, and you come home and you say, honey, I remember I came home, and I had a terrible tendency to do this early in our marriage, come home and say, honey, we're going to change this and this and this. She did not sit in that class today. She did not have time to think about all these things. All she knows is I'm coming home, and I'm passing down decrees. This is the way it's going to be. And I've had to learn through the years, if God even convicts me to make a decision as a husband, I'm going to lead our family to do something or in a certain direction, I need to talk with her about that, include her in the thought process. Her input may change my decision. It may alter it or it may not at all, but I need to include her in that.
We need you to prize our sensitivity and to impact the choices that it will have on relationships. Sometimes with men, when they make decisions, they don't realize how it will affect the family unit, how it will affect our even extended family or different things. So it's how it affects relationships. And don't expect your wife to know what you are thinking or feeling unless you tell her. Just like you can't figure out women sometimes we can't figure out men and the decisions that they come to. But all of this with women, we as women need to realize, and Mark and I have this kind of agreement, we always talk things out. And on most decisions, if he can go my way, he will go my way. But on the big decisions, and where he like says, okay, you know what, this is what we're going to do, that I come under his leadership there. Because I ultimately realize he answers to God for our home. I don't answer so as much as he does. He answers for the leadership, for leading me and our children. And often in the big decisions of that, like even with moving to Calvary, I didn't want to leave Connecticut. I was very happy in our small church. I'm very happy that we were close to family. We had great relationships, and when he decided that this is what the Lord wanted him to do, I didn't necessarily agree, but I was willing to follow. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in the big things it comes to that.
Yeah. Husbands, because we've been tasked with leadership in our home, it's very easy sometimes to use that veto power all the time to get what you want, to make the decisions that you want. And if you really want your wife to support your leadership gladly, and that's biblical submission, glad support for the husband's leadership, whenever possible, you ought to allow your wife to be happy with the decision. So even something as little as where do you want to go for dinner? I first of all ask her because it's more important that she's happy with it. I'm pretty much happy wherever we go. And if enough of the time in our life it's a pattern that I'm seeking to please my wife, when I do have to make a decision that she doesn't like, if she knows that I'm concerned about her and most of the time want what she wants, then she's more willing to follow my leadership into something that she may not enjoy. All right, ladies, a couple of things here. It's very easy, because men are different, because we're so cut and dry, we're solution-oriented, to not value a husband's courage to address problems and confront issues. The truth is, most of the time, men are willing to face something straight on. You need to appreciate that. That can be a great gift to you. Now, it can be distorted by sin, without a doubt. But when your husband exercises courageous leadership, express appreciation. Most wives would find their husbands would be quite happy to do whatever they would like if they would praise their husbands more often. We spoke yesterday that the number one need of husbands or desires of husbands is respect from their wives. And ladies, you can do that by appreciating their unique contribution. Praise him when he wisely uses his masculinity to accomplish something. Oh, honey, you did such a good job cutting down that tree. I could never do that. Now, I'm not talking about false flattery, but appreciation. And you're going to see your husband's chest swell, and he's going to be walking around with his arms outside his body because he's going to feel good about himself. Especially for those things that would be difficult or impossible for you to do. Secondly, I'm a few behind here. Allow and encourage your husband to lead you, provide for, and protect you. Truth is, in our world today, the idea of roles in the home is greatly scorned by the world. They don't believe that there's any difference between men and women's roles. And yet the Bible says very clearly there are. Men and women are equal before God. I'm not any more important than my wife or in better standing before God than my wife. But I've been given a role to lead her. And ladies, you need to allow yourself to be led and to encourage your husband and thank him for providing for you, for protecting you. He's not going to do it perfectly. But when he does it well, you need to express appreciation. And you will find that your husband will be more concerned about your welfare if you're praising him for his success in this area. Another point here, let him help you solve problems. Sometimes women do just want to talk through a problem. They want to get in touch with their feelings about it and work through it. But they may not be able to find a solution for it. If your husband helps you in those areas, let him help you. And then lastly, this one's so important, help him with relationships that may be naturally difficult for him. Because women do tend to be more relationally oriented. You can be a great blessing and benefit to your husband. My wife mentioned our relationship with our daughters. We have two teenage daughters. And I've always been so close to my daughters, but since they become teenagers, it's gotten more difficult. They're more complex now. Instead of one woman in the home, there's three. And my son and I are outnumbered. And that makes me a little nervous. But as my daughters have grown and they're becoming women, it's made our relationship more complex. And this is the time in the life, dads, when you tend to pull away from your teenage daughters especially. And I've determined I am not going to let that closeness fall away, because this is when my daughter needs me the most as a teenager. But sometimes I need my wife's help. We were laying in bed last night just talking, and she said, you know, you need to talk more to them. And I said, well, I don't know what to say. And she gave me some clues of what to say. Ask her this. Ask her about that. And I thank the Lord that my relationship with my daughters is a very good one, but many times I need help with certain kinds of relationships. So there you have just an overview. I just want to recommend to you again, if you've not read these two books, I would highly encourage you, For Men Only and For Women Only. And there's not only a great resource in this book, but there's a fantastic chart in the beginning. Guys, this is like a translation chart. Under all different kinds of areas, it says, why does she do this? Here's why, what to do. Why does she say this? What does she mean by it? I'm telling you guys, this is worth $100, and the book is probably only $10. That's right. So I hope that over time in your relationship, by the way, where my wife and I are now after 19 years of marriage is not where we were in the first year or even the first 10 years. These kind of things take time to grow, and you need to be patient with one another. We have just a few minutes. Dan, when do we have to finish by? Oh, we got another half hour. Oh, nine. Okay. 10:30? Okay. Well, we have time for 5 minutes of questions. Anybody want to stick their neck out and ask a question. You might want to say, I have this friend who has a wife. And any questions in regard to differences between men and women? And my wife and I certainly don't have all the answers, but we have put a considerable amount of time into trying to learn about one another in this area. Yes, Raul. I think it's a good question. How do you raise kids in an environment like today? I think you need to have a clear sense of what God wants you to do in biblical principles. For us, it was a very high value for my wife to be home when my kids were little before they went into school. And so we sacrificed a lot. And she was able to be home until our son went into first grade, and then she started teaching. So I would say two things. Number one, we need to resist the pressure of the world and be committed to what God wants us to do. Because, 25 years from now, your coworkers won't be around, but your children will be still. And that's more important. But secondly, God wants us to be salt and light to the world, too. By your testimony of saying, you know what, here's why my wife stays home. Because we have a conviction that we ought to be the primary child rearers of our children. That can be a great testimony and can lead to a presentation of the gospel or exaltation of God. That's a great, great question. Other questions? John. No, that's true. Amen. What John said is true. There's so many of these principles that we talk about in marriage apply to all relationships. We talked yesterday about repentance and forgiveness. That applies to all relationships. In business, in the church, personal relationships, and these are, it takes time to learn them, but once God changes our way of life in that area, it can provide greater intimacy for a congregation, or for a business, or but primarily this weekend, just talking about marriage. And even understanding these differences, the goal here is to come closer together. The more I understand my wife, and 1 Peter says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. The idea there is know them, know your wife deeply and personally. That draws you closer together, strengthens your marriage, protects you from temptation, and that makes the church stronger too. Time for one more question? Yes. Oh, that's a good question. Sometimes you have to ask, that's right. What I found, that's a great question, because when we were first married, my wife I'd come home from work and she'd say, how was the day? Fine. Well, tell me about it. What happened? It was just a day, nothing. And I learned over time, number one, write things down. Interesting things. I got a phone call from a telemarketer. It was quite interesting. My wife wants details about my day, not because she's being nosy, but she wants to share in my life. So I've learned over the years to pay attention to things that happen, And sometimes I'll remember hours later. She'll ask me, I'll say, I don't remember, honey, it was a busy day. And hours later, oh, I talked to this guy, it was so interesting. However, when I sense that she wants to talk, I need to put my conversation on hold for her. And this is where there needs to be mutual understanding. Ladies, you may have they say men use an average of, 10 to 12,000 words a day. Ladies use 25,000 words a day, something like that. It might be more. But by the time the man gets home, he's used up all his words, and the wife hasn't begun to use them yet. Okay? So there needs to be mutual understanding. If my wife has something on her heart, because it's that big room, she wants to be able to close some folders, and that may take an hour of talking. I need to let her talk. But ladies, you also need to realize the man might have something to say. And true conversation and communication is a back and forth thing. It's not just one way. Good question. It has lots of application. All right, we're done. Thank you.